Bells on Mary, little Christmas.
We're not celebrating the right holidays. Welcome to Tiny Table 3, a podcast where three nerds sit around a tiny table and discuss things we may or may not know about. Naked wrestling.
Mostly not.
Pretty much this episode, I know nothing. Jon Snow. Naked wrestling is about Oscar categories. What categories would we like to see enter the Oscar races? They're all very, very well thought out categories, obviously. A weekly wrap up is about the Oscars winners and losers and things that we just generally enjoyed.
And Cloud's horrible opinions.
I have pretty much no opinions. Right Game is about Firewatch. And
greatest game ever made. Make sure to
shut up.
He doesn't feel that way in the rest of the podcast. Nerd Mixtape is about a couple of Oscar music moments. And your mediocre advice from a decent human being. I always forget
having
that.
Having trouble with your own segment.
Is about taking a date to a big event, especially one that might be a little bit of an introvert. And then we have our final words, which are just about some cool things you should probably check out. And then we leave.
And we're sponsored now by Dick Butt.
We've been sponsored by Dick Butt for a long time.
I'm Cloud City. You can find me at geek_is_in.
And this is Small Stack. You can find me at Small Stack, my Twitter handle. And you can also find me on Instagram at smallstack_tt3. And you can look at my articles at tinytable3.com.
And I'm Milo. And you can find me at Milito's Guitar. That's it.
Together, we're Tiny Table 3. You can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud, iTunes, all that stuff.
Hear this.
Hear this. Please go ahead and check us out. Share with your friends. Let them know about us because we'd love to, you know, make new friends online. Please.
Milo doesn't have any.
Yeah, Milo doesn't have any.
So hey, I said I don't have that many.
Send them a message.
Now, if there are any single ladies
slap my dick around my thighs a little bit more, I'll have more friends, apparently.
Dick slaps are a thing, people.
How does
all right,
dick
let's
dick
get
slap?
This. Let's. It's like fruit it's a basket. Booty clap. It's a booty clap with a dick swing.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Say that sentence again. It was a booty slap with a dick swing.
A booty clap. A booty clap.
Booty clap with a dick swing. I think that's the next name of our next album.
I'm gonna say no on that one.
It's a good band name.
It is a good band name,
booty
or at least
slap,
a song.
Booty clap in the dick swings.
I'm pretty sure it's a rap song already. Anyways, let's get this shit started, guys. It's all about the Oscars.
Let's get it started.
Let's do it.
Congratulations, Leo.
A merry little Christmas.
Why are you singing?
I don't know. Let it's stuck in my head.
Wide.
I can sing Creed instead.
No.
No.
Turn it off.
Don't worry. I'm going to get freaking
recorded. Yeah, let's just start this. Let's do this, guys.
Yeah.
It is all about the Oscars.
Pretty much. Yeah. Do you guys even watch it?
Fuck no.
I watch some of it. I watch the important part.
I watch every freaking... I watch the red carpet.
I swear to God.
I saw
a picture of Cate Blanchett's beautiful dress, and that was all.
Cate Blanchett, and I was like...
God, I'm going to sound like such a dick. I liked Cate Blanchett's dress.
It was beautiful.
Some people hated it. The people that I were with hated it. But I thought it was pretty great.
I thought it was stunning.
You know who looked freaking awesome? Tina Fey.
I didn't see her dress, actually.
She looked gorgeous.
I haven't done the like go through all the Oscar looks yet.
Tom Hardy's wife looked good.
Because I've been...
You know, we're not even getting started yet, and I'm already bitching about stupid crap. But and I know ABC, you know, won the contract to run the Oscars. But who is this person? They had this actress on there. I guess she's an Indian actress. She's been in a lot of Bollywood films. And she's on an ABC show called Quantico, I believe. And she was all over that broadcast. And all I could think the whole time is, who gives a shit about this
person?
They
had an agenda.
I'm sure she's talented and she's gorgeous, but she had nothing to do with the Oscars.
She's not even in a movie.
She's not in any movie. It's just she's in ABC, and it gave them a chance to say her TV show a million times. It's fucking annoying.
You guys, these mics smell really good.
Really? Because I put them down my pants.
Oh, no. I totally I just ruined it. Another brand. Front or backside? Never mind. Never mind. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
If that microphone was in my butt.
Dick butt.
Dick butt. That, I think you got the new one. That one's brand new. That's probably it has that new really microphone good. Smell.
Yeah, it does.
Kurt's butt is the new microphone smell.
Well, I think when they assemble them, they it goes through at least three Chinese butts before you before shrink wrap it.
Damn it, you're probably right. And I just sniffed it all, like enjoying myself.
Are you kidding? As soon as you guys leave, that's all I'm going to do for the next 3 hours. I'm just going to sniff that
like,
mic.
You're like, General Sow.
General Sow. Wow.
What it smells like.
Wow.
Well, you said Chinese butts. So what are Chinese butts going to smell like?
This is a little racist.
Naked Wrestling.
Wrestling. Our weekly nerd argument.
Kate Blanchett. It's not Chet. I just thought I'd correct you guys because you always correct me.
I know you're a fan, but people do occasionally ask what the hell is Naked Wrestling because they don't listen from the very beginning of our podcast. But if you don't know, it's the uncomfortable conversations, right? That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So the topic for this week is if you could create your own Oscar category in celebration of the 88th Academy Awards, what addition would you make?
Well, in light of the current Oscars, maybe it should be like a section for different races.
Now, Chris Rock nailed it with that. Like, was it like best black friend?
That's awesome.
He was good.
Okay, Chris Rock's much funnier than I am. But I had the same idea. I didn't see that comment. But I swear it would be
that's
like...
That's a slippery slope because then if they did it for the Oscars, they do it for TV and they'd be like... Longest lasting black actor on The Walking Dead because they all die.
No, they don't all die. Show. Okay, we're done with you. Actually, I was gonna say I would really like to, give an Oscar to the most tasteful full frontal
male.
Male.
Well, you'd have to have both categories, right?
Nope.
Just male
because it's always tasteful when it's a woman.
No, it's not.
They'd be like, and the Oscar goes to everyone who's done a nude scene. Wow, that's amazing.
I just
think you're very limited if you go full frontal male.
But then, you know how many movies I'm going to see where they're just like throwing that in there for the Oscar?
Yeah. And that's what I would like to see because I'd like to balance this shit out a little bit.
Most of the tasteful ones would be older actors because they're the only ones who could do tasteful.
And then they do that wiggle thing that all guys like to do.
No guy likes to do that. No.
Every guy does that.
No, he doesn't. I never. I don't do that. And I don't.
You guys
don't
are
do fruit
lying
baskets.
Sacks.
First off,
of shit.
It hurts. No. It hurts.
Why would you do that? First off, I don't like.
You've
to...
never done the wiggle thing.
I don't. First off, why would I answer sister asking that question?
The wiggle thing.
But no.
Whatever. Okay, guys.
Dude, I don't even like to wear pants without boxers on.
To the gentleman listening, I would like a show of hands. I think we should do a poll later. I think we should do a poll online and ask who's done the wiggle thing.
What is the purpose?
I don't fucking know. I'm not a dude, but I'm pretty sure they all do it.
Okay, let's also have a poll of how many women think that happens, because... That is a fake. I've never heard of that, first off, until right now when you said it.
All right.
But I
we won't get into
understood.
It because you're my sibling, but every man does it.
I'd have to admit that I don't do that. I may have.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. You put some poor girl through it at some point in your life, and you know it.
Now we're doing it in front of people?
That's the only time you do it. You don't fucking do it not in front of people.
First off, no. Second, why? Third, no.
I'm not a dude. I don't know why.
I don't think this. I think we can all agree that that would not win the Oscar for most tasteful.
Well, that
would
be ten. That
most
would not
tasteful
be tasteful.
Dick spin. Right. What is
it? No, it's like dick slap on your thighs.
What? No.
All right. What's your category?
My category would be best performance by a PA. And it would just be a bunch of like little 17-year-old guys that are like, hey, how's it going? Because they all just, it's like showing them behind the scenes, like handing coffee to people. And they're like, you know, production assistants, come on.
But how are you going to see them in the film?
Because they'd film while they're filming.
cops. All right.
And in the corner, after every scene where a PA had assisted, they'd show like a little like the picture in picture, and it would be a PA, and he'd be like,
"You're only saying that because you've been."
Yeah. So I mean, I want an award.
I mean, you know who would have won that year that Christian Bale lost his shit? Is that PA?
Oh, you. I mean, you know.
Or was he a grip?
Yeah. No, that was a lighting guy.
Oh.
See, and they already had that. See, he won an Oscar for something, probably.
I agree,
pity
though.
On
that,
his
I think
soul.
that those types of behind the scenes people do need an Oscar. I mean, they have the technical awards, but you know they're not even giving shit to the PA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whoever the person is. There's a name for it, but it's the person that's in charge of making sure from shot to shot everything is the same. So when
for continuity.
Yeah, they catalog everything and they have to go back.
Could you imagine that award though? Look at this scene. That's 12 shots and you can't tell.
And it looks exactly the same.
It looks exactly
Kurt,
the same.
Kurt, what was your category thought?
You guys got the good ones. Mine's boring. I think I mentioned mine earlier, but I like the idea of like best opening sequence to a movie. Because I've got a few, you know, like
That's not one. I mean, I don't watch the Oscars ever.
I feel
so.
Like that would be in writing and cinematography and stuff.
Like X-Men 2, you know, has like just a killer opening sequence.
Best opening action sequence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I could go for it. I mean, yours seems
Empire
legit.
Empire Strikes Back.
Well, that's my problem with it. It's kind of like, yeah, I could see the sexy. Yeah. Does Empire have a great one?
Well, they have the whole...
That is a great one. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, that's a killer opening.
Yeah.
Okay, Milo turns around and just like shakes his head at me. I'm like, we're on a podcast, dude. Nobody can see you doing that.
Batman Rise has a great opening sequence. That's the airplane shot.
Best with catering.
Bane. It's not the best Batman movie by far, but that opening sequence is the shit.
Deadpool would have won this year.
Yes, it would have.
Yeah.
Absolutely would have.
I mean, is there even an award for opening credits? Because they win every year from now on.
Oh,
for
sure. Best sit-in in a film.
Sit-in?
When they're trying to do lighting and stuff and the actor is paid too much money, so they ask those other people that look like them to sit in.
So you're covering all the little guys in the background.
He wants the little guys to win.
Because, you know, they do a lot more work than actors do sometimes because they got to sit through that shit for a long time.
I think there should be one. Is there one for the stunt people?
I don't think so.
There really should be one for the people who have to do all those freaking stunts, especially with how crazy action sequences are nowadays.
I think stunt people get paid a lot of money, though. See, that's the difference between my sit-ins and PAs.
I get it, but they're putting their lives really at risk.
That's true, but they do it on... Most of them own companies and stuff, though, that get, like, part of the, like, Oscar for...
What?
All that stuff.
Stunt people?
Stunt people usually, like, a lot of them own their own companies that lend out, like, stunt people, and they kind of, like, they're kind of in the whole process.
It's a production company type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think they deserve something.
Or how about best director name?
Best director name?
Yeah. Like, that new director name, though. Because what about that one guy? He directed Salvation. Terminator Salvation. His name was McGee. Like, it's like, you know? It's not...
Like, it's not even, like, the best newcomer. It's just, like, the best newcomer's name.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I don't think they should give that one out.
I think that one works just fine.
Because Michael Bay would have won at some point.
That's like...
He already has an Oscar, though.
Alejandro Gonzalez.
No, he doesn't. His movie does.
Yeah, that's a good name. That's a good name.
Pearl Harbor has an Oscar?
Sound design.
Kill me.
Ugh.
Sound design, dude. That has nothing to do with the story.
They should create an Oscar category to take Oscars away.
Yeah, there should
from people
be.
That
most
didn't
undeserving Oscar, and the Oscar gets taken away from.
I like
from.
This idea. I think that's a great
and
idea.
The Oscar was stripped from...
From Birdman, his best picture.
What? That was a good movie.
It was, but it wasn't best picture.
Your mom's best
what
picture.
What won best picture this time? Remnant?
No.
Spotlight.
Spotlight. Never seen it.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It was a good film. It's a great film.
Is it about the churchy?
Yeah. It's really about journalism, about then how the newspaper cracked the story. It was good.
Everybody just doesn't like Catholic person. I feel persecuted. I'm going to complain and start a petition. And that's how America works.
Well, everybody in that movie is Catholic. Well, all the characters are. It's like Boston.
No,
you know?
I know. It's a serious issue.
Yep.
I mean, hey, what? I mean, it's pretty blown open now, obviously, but back then, it was something that nobody talked about. Dude, speaking of which,
I would do best animated sequence also, because there sometimes they have like films like
Montage of Heck,
the Harry Potter, the last film.
Montage of Heck had an animated sequence. It's pretty bomb.
Yeah,
it did. Yeah,
just great. About a whiny guy though.
Oh my god, you're a whiny guy.
No, I'm
with your
not.
Dick slap.
Well, the Deathly Hallows, the Harry Potter movie that wasn't that great. There's some good ones.
Wait, which one?
I think all it's six. Is it six? I think it's six.
Deathly Hallows is split into two parts. Six was Half-Blood Prince.
Half-Blood Prince, yeah. But wow. I want to say part one of Deathly Hallows had
probably
the animated sequence.
I don't
sequence.
Remember any animated sequences.
Okay, and maybe it was part one. Because that was the only thing about that movie that was good, but it's a killer animated sequence. Mm. It's like the rest of the movie, you're like, yeah, it's kind of boring. And then they have this like 5-minute animation sequence. You're like, damn, this should be a whole movie, and it should have got an Oscar just for that.
You know what, though? On the flip side of this whole Oscar category thing, I really think they need to narrow it down to just a few, because at the same time, I'm like, I don't give a shit about all these Oscars.
You know, though, Louis C.K. came out. And he did best. What was it? It was
best documentary short.
Yeah, best documentary short. And he was like, all these people in this room, they're all going home millionaires. They might get a statue, they may not get one, but who gives a shit? Because they're all winners. Because these people coming up here for this award, this matters, because they ain't making nothing.
Yeah,
they ain't getting paid shit.
Yeah,
you know, this is the only reward they get.
Well, let's strip
it was
the big ones.
It was
then.
A great
and
argument.
It was funny because he's all like, ones. And if you win one, most of these people are taking them home in their nice cars. They're getting driven home. This one's going to a shitty Honda Civic.
Yeah, this one's going home in a Civic.
I mean, well,
they're all going to be afraid to have it in their shitty apartment.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
It was great.
That's good. Well, those are well deserved awards.
Okay, so around the table, if you had one category to add to the Academy Awards.
Okay, I gotta change mine just last minute because I thought about it 5 seconds ago, but best looking food in a motion
picture.
Oh,
man, that's so good.
I like that.
Oh, especially could animateds be in it? Because you know animateds make food look so delicious.
No, animated doesn't count because animated, you can make it look delicious no matter what.
But even if it's just like a white little
no,
like circle, it looks
every
so
year
yummy.
It would just be Ratatouille. No matter what year it came out, it would just be Ratatouille.
No way, I'd always go for animes with those pork buns. They always make them look so good. No.
That's a good one.
And is a good one. Yeah, I'm going to go with the tasteful full frontal. I would like to just, I want that to be a category so that people feel comfortable doing it, so that we have a little bit of balance in our female to male frontal.
HBO is the only one doing, you know, groundbreaking work in that area. The only one.
Yeah, and male full frontal, men aren't comfortable with it. Men don't need to see it. Women don't need
to see
it.
Yeah.
I don't care. They just make it.
We don't, but I just want to even the planes.
Nah, dudes are fine with not being naked. We enjoy not looking at it. Look, see, this is the difference. Girls can look at a girl naked and a guy naked and kind of look at it arbitrarily. A guy can't look at a guy naked arbitrarily. It's like, he has to say something just
to
feel
avert.
Like he's not checking him out.
We have
or
to avert.
Unless he is checking him out, that's cool. But I'm saying, like, there's a moment where you're like, I don't understand where my life is going anymore. Like, it's just weird.
Yeah, we're pathetic.
We're visual, yeah, so we're, I mean, pathetic. You kind of have to be like...
Guy brain.
It's just really, it's like, you're just not used to it. Like, you're not used to seeing
it. Well, that's the other thing, too. It's just, we never see it, so...
But that's what,
like,
I'm saying. That's,
yeah,
why I want
it
there. I'm trying
more,
to create the balance.
No, well,
but...
I see plenty, because, I mean, I'm a dude. But
what,
I'm
you
saying,
see plenty, because why?
No, I'm just saying, like, you obviously see
what
it.
What was that?
That was
you
an
see
unfortunate
plenty.
Choice of words.
Yeah.
Great
okay.
for us.
Yeah.
Kurt, what was yours?
Ha.
I'm going with the least deserving Oscar giving in a previous year.
I like it.
Shall be taken away.
I think that's
like
called
it.
The Razzie, though.
No, the Razzie's for worst things. Yeah, those are straight up bad.
Yeah, but yeah, there's a
this
few.
This is one where you're just
Oscar,
like,
Oscar?
No.
What's that?
Most undeserving Oscar.
Yeah.
And
no,
it's an
undeserving...
Oscar holding a little Oscar?
it's you got to bring that shit back. And it'll be like an Oscar crew knocking on their door, you know, open up, we're coming in to take it back.
I think it would be better.
Like
if,
a SWAT team.
That'd be so funny.
I think it would actually be better if they were in the theater and when they pan to them, they're like this and they just hold up the Oscar and they're like, yeah, like, I hope it gets taken away. It's true. I don't deserve it. You know, That'd be pretty funny.
Or just because they want to do another speech.
True.
I'd like to thank the Academy for giving it to me, and I'd like to not thank them for taking it away.
Yeah.
Well, let's get on to the actual show.
The weekly wrap-up of it all?
The weekly wrap-up. The Oscar week.
I mean, I'm out. I didn't watch any of it, but you guys go. Oh, but here's one thing. Dude. You know what I did watch?
Well, you know the winners, dude, some of them, don't you?
Not really. I honestly don't pay attention to any award hype ever.
I don't pay attention because I'm so cool.
I'm like a total hipster. I mean, come on. But like...
Shut up. I hate you.
Well, you wanted that side of me to come out, so there you go. No, I will say that I started to watch the beginning of Mad Max.
Oh, so good.
I turned it off. It's weird. I was bored.
Yeah, because Claudia doesn't understand
good movies.
You're
bored, Mad Max?
I was bored. Like, I was just sitting there going, like, this is just kind of gross, and I'm bored, and nobody's saying anything.
Gross?
It's gross.
Well, it's creepy. It's like a weird apocalypse.
Like, yeah, whatever. It's just an uncomfortable gross.
Claudia
anyways,
doesn't get it.
I haven't finished it. No, I turned, like, the whole, like, Geek and Sundry office against me by saying this, but I haven't finished it. We didn't get, like, super far into watching it because we were both bored, but I was just like, meh. Like,
who was bored with you?
Jimmy, we were both kind of like, meh.
Okay.
Wow.
So you're both not cool. I already knew that, though. They weren't cool anyways.
That was kind of the big surprise last night. It took home a lot of awards.
Yeah, that's why I bring it up, is because it did take home a lot of awards. And maybe it's because I got all the hype for so long that I don't know. I'll finish it eventually, but we turned it off. We were like,
yeah, that was like one of my favorites last year. It's like, it's just amazing that it got made. It's like, it's limited CGI. It's like a 1980s action.
I liked it a lot.
Film made and, in, you know, it's crazy. It's the fact that someone pitched that and they went for it. But yeah. The direction's astounding.
It's not best picture. I don't think it deserved that.
No.
I mean,
no,
well, that's the thing, is we're watching it going into it with it having a nomination of best picture. And I was like, what is this piece of shit? Like, sorry, but when it comes to best picture, I expect something that's
it's
bit
kind of like
more...
when The Walking Dead gets called a great show. I don't
Shut
get
up.
It.
You do have
oh, see,
to.
See, that's
to,
dumb, but what? But
you do
Mad
have
Max
to make your way through the whole thing, though.
We will.
I mean,
eventually.
There are characters that are compelling.
Well, okay. The little dude played by the Beast is compelling from the beginning. I was definitely interested in that character from the beginning. I think that the acting on that was really, really impressive and good. He stands out to me because nothing else was interesting.
And Charlize does, she becomes the movie. So, and you got to kind of get into it.
And that was the other thing. Everybody loved Furiosa and I was just like,
that's because you're lame and you don't understand.
Well, no, I'm guessing that there's more to it, that we should have stuck with it, but we were bored.
Yeah, but that was a surprise. Now, this was the thing with me. The amount of outpouring for Leo's win. I mean, people lost their shit over. I mean, I think he deserved it.
But do we feel like he was just given it at this point?
Well, it is one of those things.
No. I saw that movie, man.
I saw that movie, too. I was bored.
Oh, God, you don't even know what the movie's about, dude.
Yeah, that whole movie is a lie, by the way. Have you ever actually known the story of that dude?
It doesn't matter.
That
it's a
whole
movie.
Movie is a lie.
It's based
for
on
them
a true
to,
story, meaning to, there was a guy by the same name. That's all that movie's.
That is literally all that's true.
Okay.
Literally. Okay. The guy had that name.
Fine, but you don't understand that the movie was about struggling and being determined to do something and how...
Do you realize that guy never got revenge in real life?
Okay.
He just like gave up.
Yeah.
He was just like, oh yeah, I could go to jail for this. All right. Yeah. No, I give up.
Okay. Well, that's great, but it's a movie, so it can't.
So it never really happened. So it's not about persevering. They just made it up.
The movie is, I didn't talk about him, did I?
No,
so
I was
there.
Bored.
So
the only good part was the last part where they fight.
So I think. Because
the bear looked fake.
Because Claudia has stupid opinions apparently of everything. I think Leo deserved the Oscar last year. And then.
Uh-huh.
For what?
For Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah. And then it's a good movie.
I think he's deserved an Oscar
and
for
then,
a while. I was just wondering if this was the year.
Revenant having to put himself through all that shit.
Yeah, the Academy tends to reward, like, if they feel like someone's been put aside for a long period of time. You're right. Sometimes
just,
they give it to him
because...
It just
feels such a, like, shitty win. So here's the thing. I feel... It's not that I don't want him to win. I almost feel bad that this is how he had to win versus in previous years when it would have just been a well-deserved Oscar. Instead, you there's know, this like give Leo an Oscar outpour.
I think it was a good performance, and there wasn't anything else that really stood out to me as being.
Well, I mean, The Martian wasn't particularly best. Yeah,
it wasn't, and Matt Damon wasn't that great. I don't understand why people love The Martian so much. I mean, it was all right.
I think the Danish girl one, I was a little worried because I was like, he's probably going to win, you know? And
yeah, he certainly could have, but.
But I think the fact that it's not so much about how much dialogue you have and stuff, because I think.
I don't think it's about dialogue, no. Because
Leonardo did. He put himself through a lot of shit. He had to survive in freezing cold temperature, being like half naked and shit half the time.
Right, and the cinematography was gorgeous. The direction was. What's his face? What's the guy's last name? The director. He won too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alejandro.
And they won for cinematography, which was all natural light.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's certainly deserving.
Yeah, but the buffalo and the bear look fake.
And I think, overall, he conveyed the struggle very well without having to act with anybody else.
It was like the biggest trending Twitter ever.
Did you guys play the game? Leo chasing the Oscar?
No.
there was this little online game, and you had to push G and H really quickly to be the feet running, and then you had to jump at times to avoid photographers and stuff so you could get to the Oscar on time.
That's funny.
Dude, it's just Google it, guys. It's hours of entertainment, except for the fact that you get tired right away because it's really hard to push those two buttons.
People were super happy though. People were was
his speech good?
Yeah, it was great. He gave a little shout out to the Native American population, and it was a very political Oscars, by the way, and global warming, and
he's been that way for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
So it didn't surprise me at all.
No, and it's also Hollywood. Who cares?
I saw the actor, the guy that portrayed his son was there with his dad, I think, mm-hmm. and they were all excited because he was winning. And then when he gave them a shout out, he was like, "Yay!"
Yeah.
So it was cool. Yeah, I saw Cate Blanchett. Jumped out of her chair when he won. I saw that.
He's very well liked. One of our friends who does makeup has worked with him before, and so he's just a great guy. So
no, I do think it's cool. I do think he deserved one a while back. I just felt like it almost felt like, and like you said, it trended. It just felt so like so much spectacle that I almost felt like it was a cheap win for him.
Why are we asking her about anything? She didn't even watch it. So isn't that part of the rule? I got shut out.
There was nothing in there that made me go, you know, that someone was more deserving in that lineup. I was kind of like, you know, sure. You know, I mean,
I haven't seen all the films and I didn't know who all was in it. So I guess I was just worried that it would not be
Bryan Cranston did a really good job, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Trumbo. Yeah. But there was a lot of... They seem to spread out the awards. I mean, it wasn't like a dominant. I mean, Mad Max won a lot of the production stuff. What's her face? I got it up here. It's the only one that went for Room. If you haven't seen Room, oh my God, see Room. That Room is so good. Brie, I remember her last name. Brie Larson. That's it. If you haven't seen Room, that's the one about the woman who has been abducted and kept in a shed for 7 years.
So My Saturday.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm a woman kept in a shed on a Saturday.
Totally deserving, though. Totally deserving of the award.
I haven't seen it, but I heard it's good.
It's very good.
I was also pretty stoked that whatchamacallit, Dave Grohl was there.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming for the you're going to talk about the music segment, so we'll come back to that.
Sure.
Yeah, there weren't any really huge surprises other than the guy from Bridge of Spies won for supporting instead of Sylvester Stallone. I think everyone was waiting for Sylvester to get the call on that one, and he didn't, which was great.
But I haven't seen Bridge of Spies, which I really wanted to see, but no one wanted to go with me.
Mark Rylance. He's great. It's an underplayed performance. Because the character is so flat.
Yeah.
But he nails that.
That's what a guy I work with, he was all like, you know, I was actually pretty glad that he won because he that movie, even though it's Tom Hanks, that's the main actor. He's very he stands up.
He
in
does.
That movie. And yeah. I actually thought Tom Hardy was going to win a little bit.
Yeah, I was thinking
Tom Hardy was transformed in that movie.
I was rooting for Mark Ruffalo, actually, for Spotlight. He's a good great actor. In Spotlight.
I always love him.
I think
he's
he should have won for Incredible Hulk, though.
It wasn't... His performance in Spotlight was definitely Oscar worthy for sure. And it was funny. I almost felt bad because when they said Mark Rylance,
you're like, no.
You go back and you can watch his reaction. I think for a second there, he thought he had it. Like, aww. Someone like behind him went, yeah. And he was like, nope, it's not me.
Nah, he's still making millions.
Yeah, come on, what's he gonna worry
But Mark
about?
Ruffalo has always been amazing in his roles, opinion.
He's a very good actor. Yeah. And other than that, there wasn't all that many surprises. Marconi got it for Hateful Eight, the score.
Oh, right, yeah. I saw
that
one coming.
Which was awesome.
I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, I know.
The musical score, though, I mean, that guy's been doing those films for like 50 years. He's been nominated 6 times. He never got anything.
Yeah.
Well, that's
it was
pretty
his
cool.
first win. He had to be like sort of walked up. And
that was a good.
Yeah, he's like, he did, you know, all the scores from all those like spaghetti westerns and stuff. He's been around forever, and that he won was like so. That was great.
That was
a great
good movie.
To see.
I think that could have been a good cinematography win.
I think so, too. Yeah, I think that would have been.
Revenant was definitely more impressive with what they had to work with, but it could have won. But there's a weird third person in this room that I don't understand why she's here. You know, it's kind of strange.
It's so weird. It's kind of
It's kind of like Milo
and,
when he talks about everything that we talk about.
Well,
yeah.
Weird. You know,
I like how you're the one getting mad about it.
I'm just saying, like, you didn't see it. So last week I shut up halfway through.
No, you did not.
I did. He edited me out.
All right, let's go to the right game.
Okay, let's move on to the right game. Okay, let's talk about some stories.
You're still at the right game.
We're gonna leave the Oscars momentarily, just because I have played Firewatch.
You beat it?
I did.
Okay,
yeah.
I beat it too.
My review is gonna
be
up on
the game. Let me clarify what we're talking about beating.
Oh, I thought you were talking about beating. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did that too. 3 times today. I'm sorry.
Awkward.
No, Firewatch.
Three times. That's some stamina.
Firewatch. I beat the game. Firewatch. Oh, okay. 3 times. You know, I love, obviously, my bit on the right game is about storytelling, and I love games with story. And there's been a reemergence of the narrative adventure game in recent years, which I'm very happy about. Vanishing of Ethan Carter is fantastic. A lot of people were all into Gone Home, which is also a great, great game. So when Firewatch showed up, I was super excited to play it. Our writer, Derek, played The Park recently, and it's that same time. These are short games, by the way.
Yeah.
They only last about 3 hours, you know, in a long play.
Firewatch was kind of long.
It could be, yeah. I mean, if you did everything and took your time. Yeah. But you could conceivably finish it up in, you know, 3 to 5 hours.
I
think The Park is actually only like an hour or two, maybe something like that. I'm here to tell you, it sucks.
Really?
You didn't like it?
You know, and here's my issue with it. I love story. And I mean, going back to like the old adventure games, things like some of my favorites. Well, I mean, like the old school stuff, like the old King's Quest games. I love that type of where it's a real focus on the story with puzzles. That's essentially it. Now, The Vanishing of Ethan Carter is very atmospheric, and it's about sort of figuring things out. This game, it just laid there, man. It promised so much at the beginning. It's the story about this guy, Hank. And here's a little spoiler alert warning. So if you're going to play Firewatch and you want to know nothing about the story, turn off the podcast or come back in 10 minutes. About this guy, Hank, and starts with this great little narrative. It's very quiet and the music's fantastic. And it sets you up where, you know, he's got this relationship he's developing with this girl that he meets, and she's a college professor. And it has this really sort of very real, authentic, you know, how their relationship's not perfect, but they've struggled through this and that. And like before the game even started, his wife, they end up getting married, and his wife develops like early onset Alzheimer's dementia. And it goes through sort of the breakdown of her and him eventually, you know, having her sent away with her family because he can't care for her anymore. And he's hit this point in his life where he just goes to this, in the middle of nowhere, hikes in 8 miles to work the summer, you know, in a park system watching for fires, Firewatch. You know, just he wants to get away from everything. With that opening so powerful.
It was tough for me to get through.
And, but once you get into the game, there's zero payoff.
Aww.
There's, in writing, there's this writer by the name of Chekhov, and they call this Chekhov's gun. He wrote plays, but this quote.
He's a premature shooter. Is that where?
No. This in writing circles, this comes up quite a bit. But his quote is essentially, if you introduce a loaded gun at the beginning of the play, someone better damn well shoot that goddamn gun by the end sometime.
Right.
Because you if you don't, you're not fulfilling the promise to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Don't set it up if you're going to just drop it. Mm-hmm. What's the point in loading the gun if no one ever touches the goddamn thing? And that's my issue with Firewatch. There's so many instances where I'm waiting. Okay, they started this plot thread. Where is this going to go? And you get to the end of it and it goes fucking nowhere. Zero.
I can see where you're... I had a great time playing it.
Well, I mean, people are talking about, oh, it's so great, this open world exploration. It's super linear.
It is. It
it's the one of my biggest pet peeves with games is where... Yeah, I'm a hiker. I'm like, work... This guy... And I can't walk over a six-inch rock. You know? Oh, there's a bush there. I can't possibly get through that bush, you know, but I can rappel off, you know... 1,000 feet, you know, that drove me nuts. And then, I mean, things like there's this beginning where you run into, it builds this great creepy atmosphere. Like, what the fuck's going on out here?
Those girls, something should have happened.
Yeah, that's my point. That's the gun. That's the first gun they set up. He's out there for the first day and he's following this trail. There's like beer cans around and these girls are like in this lake and they're drunk and but they disappear. You know, he gets this report from, you're on the whole time, you're on this walkie-talkie with someone on another tower. And these girls disappear. And then I swear to God, like, maybe like three quarters way through the, because this mystery, like, what happened? Maybe they were killed. Maybe we're going to get accused of killing. Someone needs to talk to him. Three quarters away, the girl on the radio goes, oh, those girls? Oh, they found them. Nothing. They're fine. What?
Well, at least they're safe and sound.
Yeah, that was it.
And there was a lot of I can see where that did kind of bug me too.
And the big narrative payoff was all about this other guy and his relationship with his son. He was sort of this abusive guy. And that was just so, you know, when it comes around, you're like, that's it? You know, there's a guy out here, you know, like knocking me out, you know, because he doesn't want me to find out that his son accidentally died. It's so when I hit the end of that, and then the last radio conversation you have is like, well, you know, if you get a chance, you know, come down to, you know, Denver. Okay.
So
roll credits. I was like, fuck this, you know.
I did get pissed that I never met the girl.
Yes.
That pissed me off a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the thing is
man,
that
now you're making me hate the game.
This is
you suck.
In writing, there's this is so, it's sometimes they call this naturalistic writing. Is it like
I paid $10 for it, so I don't care.
Yeah, well, that's fine. But they have or sometimes what they call postmodernist writing, where there isn't supposed to be a point. You know,
right.
It could just be, I don't like much, this, I'm gonna get in trouble for saying this. I don't like much of Hemingway's work. Not saying, I mean, there's some good stuff, obviously, mm-hmm. but like if you read something like The Sun Also Rises, which is his great modernist novel, nothing ever fucking happens.
Yeah.
It's just life. You know what? I'm already living life.
Yeah. I don't give a shit about that stuff.
See,
yeah.
And that's the same reason I don't like some movies, because I don't want to sit there and watch someone else suffer the same shit I am. Like, I want to watch people fight with lightsabers.
Suffering. I love suffering.
Yeah. Claudia likes it.
Yeah. I don't, but I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be. You can have. I mean, you can watch, or better yet, read Cormac McCarthy's No Country for Old Men, because it's brutal and shit happens, but it's not resolved, which is, I'm totally cool with. But literally nothing happens in Firewatch. Just for those of you don't buy it.
Dude, something happens, bro.
No.
There's a fire.
Which never gets resolved. That fucking fire starts, and I guess it's supposed to kick up some narrative tension. Oh, there's a fire. Well, that's great, because we're never going to experience it.
I did.
We're going to get smoke in the last 2 minutes of the game, but you're never going to actually run into the fire.
These are good points, though. I haven't played the game, but if you're not arguing them, then I'm guessing this is pretty valid.
I mean, it's his right to not like
the
game. Dude,
IGN gave it a 9.3. Fuck you, IGN. That's like some guy thought.
Hey man,
some guy's
burn,
like,
don't
you know,
burn no bridges so fast. Okay.
Yeah. Somebody. Some
don't
pretentious.
Burn the bridges.
Some pretentious.
Firewatch.
Some guy with a bachelor's in, you know, creative writing. Oh, this is so deep. Yeah. Go get your master's and come back and talk to me.
What did
dang elitist master's yes. degree over
yes.
here?
Yep.
No, some of us can't afford like, master's
and,
degrees.
And they made some such a big deal like about the authentic. Oh, here's my other thing: the authentic writing and dialogue and voice acting. You know what? And maybe it's authentic if the girl in the tower is a fucking 12-year-old video gamer. But I get so tired of this when they create a character and all they can say is fuck. It's like,
I
fuck
hate
this,
that
fuck
too.
You, fuck that, fucking A,
hey,
fuck motherfucker.
My characters only say
you know, she's
stuff.
A 45-year-old Firewatch lady saying fuck every
yeah,
3 minutes.
Yeah, I hate that
that's
too.
That was supposed to be authentic, real dialogue. Yeah, I know people say fuck, but by the time you hit like 30, the number of times drops a bit.
But
especially
also
in casual conversation.
Yeah, I was just going to say, but also it just depends on your conversation. There's like entire days when I don't cuss.
No, all her conversations were peppered with the F-bombs.
That's true.
So again, if you're 12 and you think this isn't the adult game to be playing,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, I like it kind of, okay? Calm down.
No, don't. Play. Go buy The Vanishing of Ethan Carter. It's a better game by far.
Well...
Or Gone Home. Pick
not all of us have to feel like it's up to our master degree standards. Okay, some of us only have bachelor's degree, and it's just fine for us.
I also have an MFA. Sorry.
Oh, shit.
I'll kill you.
And a
guys.
Master's.
I hate elitist people.
You know? And I'm unemployed, so. That's
God.
What that's what it got
oh
me.
Oh my God. Let me play you a violin. I have a master's in violin.
No,
playing.
But I absolutely am thrilled that they're developing these style of games again. Because they're seriously
even
about
though they're shitty according to
well,
you.
Well, about a decade ago, people were talking about the death of the adventure game. And that's not the case anymore. There are a lot of these games being developed again. So I think
people are just into storytelling in general again.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. Like we got so much of the quick bite stuff that we're getting a little bit sick of that, and things just always roll back around. And I think that that's something that for some weird reason older people seem to forget, like older business people I should say seem to forget, is that things always run in trends. You can't completely say this is gone dead, right? I mean, look at you know, albums. They're the highest selling thing for music right now.
And yeah,
you mean records? Well, vinyl records.
Yes.
Albums means...
Okay. So, all right. Whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, that game style, I mean, it's essentially like... It's basically an interactive film. It's not about the mechanics of the gameplay. It's about the experience. And yeah.
And some of us thought it was a decent
like
game.
You know? No, you know, there are some good elements to it. And again, that introduction, I was totally connected with those characters by the time it started. I was like, oh my God,
you're
this
ready
is going
to play.
Be great. I can't believe it. And then I found out that I was basically running from place to place... through this narrow world that I couldn't really get anywhere to that I wanted to, to no narrative payoff. It was just like all this evidence emerging, like all the radio equipment. I'm like, that was supposed to be what the kid and the dad were doing. It was like a government installation.
Yeah, that's true.
When I got it, I'm like, wow, this is so interesting. What's this going to be? And it was supposed to be like a ham radio getup. Yeah, no,
all right,
guided
man,
the
don't
whole place
yourself.
Up.
You're all right.
And yeah, no, it was, yeah, it was just not that great.
All right.
Yeah. I like the score. And I like the look of it. I thought it was beautiful, how it was rendered. Very simple. It's an indie game, you know, style, but, it looked good. And I thought the score was pretty great.
Yeah. From what I saw, I liked a lot of the visuals of it, yeah. But that's all I've seen so far.
So you would just throw it in the trash. You wouldn't wipe your butt with it.
No, I'd wipe my butt with it. Yeah. I don't want to go out the waste. I know, play the first 10 minutes and then go ahead and stop.
yeah.
Okay, let's get on to a nerd mixtape.
It's not very long. But well,
there's some good stuff.
Let's
though.
Go back to the Oscars. So they did there's only two things that I'm going to talk about because I didn't really watch a lot of the other stuff.
There's only two things that matter.
Okay.
So and I know which
I
two you're bringing
really
up.
Watch. So they did the In Memoriam, but they only had Dave Grohl come out. Well, the orchestra was playing down below.
Yeah, yeah.
But he played Blackbird by the Beatles.
It was so good.
And they did the In Memoriam.
That's my favorite music.
And
that's
they synced
my favorite
it with
song.
They synced it with the video, and it was cool. Because I don't think they've really done that in the past. They've kind of had just a reel, and it's already got music kind of to it.
Yeah, they kind of do. I mean, it's all click-tracked. And,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, during the exact pauses, the video would click in for the people that passed away. But
and so great. They remembered David Bowie and Alan Rickman and...
Yeah. I always tear up when I watch those things.
So it was really good. I think they did a good job, and I think Dave Grohl I've heard him sing better, but it was a good job.
It's a tough range for him. Yeah. You know, that's a high. But he did a really commendable job.
Standing by himself.
Yeah. That would scare the hell out of me.
So he did a really good job. And then Lady Gaga had an Oscar nomination for her song that was about... I don't know what movie was it?
Sexual assault, yeah. You know, on campuses. It's If It Happened to You is the song.
The thing Joe Biden is talking about.
Yeah, that was a trip. Yeah. Joe Biden walked out and freaking the crowd really liked him.
Shit.
They really did, yeah. It's Hollywood.
And so Lady Gaga did her performance, and man, that got to me. You could tell.
Oh my God.
She threw herself into that one.
She absolutely did.
And I do want to see that
brought out. She brought out a bunch of people that were obviously victims of it before. Like, she brought them out. And they were all, like, crying.
Oh, and she really gave it, man. Yeah. I mean, it was super emotional.
She's a really great performer,
By the end of that, I was like, fucking A, man.
Yeah.
Like, shit. Like, I mean, it sucks, obviously. You know, that's not something I... condone or even would even
they pointed out it was like one out of every four women will be sexually assaulted by the time they finish college, and one out of every 20 men will be so sexually assaulted. Yeah. You know, and
that's shitty.
So it's shitty.
That kind of statistic just pisses me off. People need to keep their hands off of each other.
Joe Biden did his thing but they're doing like a fundraiser thing, and they're trying to bring awareness to it. And that's what he was there for. And since Lady Gaga obviously has spoken of being a victim of it in the past, she kind of did her song thing. And it was just like crazy. It wasn't like overproduced or anything. There wasn't a lot going on. It was just her and the piano.
It's pretty straightforward.
That was some crazy shit, man. That was like probably the best.
I want to see that.
That's the best like award show performance I'd seen in a long time.
Yeah, the song's called Till It Happens to You, and it didn't win, by the way.
It didn't, but
Sam Smith won.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
Because that won me over. I don't even know what Sam Smith won for. So
yeah, what song did he win?
It was for for Spectre, the Bond film.
Why does Bond always win those? I don't understand that. I thought that song sucked. I'm sorry.
You know, he was super flat when he sang it. I was like, what the?
That whole intro was lame. It wasn't great. I mean, I get why Adele won, because that one, even though, okay, Jeff's going to hate me for saying it because Jeff doesn't like the Adele Skyfall theme, but that theme actually was like, okay, that's definitely like James Bond style.
Yep.
But when they did the Spectre one, I was like, this is just like marketing on, basically they were just banking on, well, Sam Smith's popular. So they gave him the song. Cause I know people like submit them. Yeah. They don't really like give them out.
Yeah. The film, the Lady Gaga song, the film I think was called Hunting Grounds. It was a documentary about sexual assault. So it's not like a lot of people would have, cause when you watch the performance, you're like, they've got it. They're totally going to win. And well, I mean, how many people probably saw, Hunting Grounds, probably a lot more people saw Spectre. So they're like, oh, I remember that song. I'll vote for that. And the Academy Awards, all the shit you can give them, they're definitely probably the most fair way of winning, because it's people that work in the industry. It's like 8,000 members who, anonymously vote for these categories. So,
and regarding like, obviously, Lady Gaga is a little bit more, when you get her name behind something, it kind of throws people off sometimes, too. Like, it's Lady Gaga. She's going to be all like, it's going to be crazy. I think they kind of judge it a little bit before they listen to the songs. Because I think actually, like, when she won a Golden Globe for her acting and stuff. And I've seen her in those shows and things. And she's got a lot of talent for doing that stuff. I think people would automatically, like, if you hadn't seen American Horror Story and you saw... And you saw that Lady Gaga was in it, you kind of get your assumptions.
Yeah, I look, because Diane Warren's the person that wrote the song with her, and I heard her on NPR. She was talking about the songwriting process, but how it was interesting to hear how her concept of, because Lady Gaga wanted, like, had an eye vision of making sort of sad, and emotional, and how she pushed it up to make it like, when by the time you get the end of that song, it's almost like it's in defiance, so like, fuck you kind of, and it was a very powerful performance. So win or no win, it was just a really, really great performance.
Yeah. And like, they panned to the audience, and the audience is like, holy shit. Like,
I like, big time. There are people crying,
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It was something for else. Her, man. And, I was I'm not really interested in the Oscars either, to be honest, like 100%, because film, in terms of like all the other things, I don't get it in a technical sense.
Yeah.
I just like to watch stuff. I don't really like, I'm not like, yeah, best lighting. Like, that's not my thing. I mean, it's cool. Like, I'll sit through the Oscars. My mom watches it and stuff.
But, I love watching it.
Dave Grohl did an amazing job with the In Memoriam thing. But then when she came out, I was like, and then I was like, I'm over it. I don't need to see no more.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of my thing until Leonardo DiCaprio came out. And I was like, oh, I want to see if he wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the whole show of the whole. I think they do a good job with it. It's a pretty amazing production. Just, plus, you guys probably been down to the Dolby Theater area anyways, right?
We're on
Highland Center. And
just so people know that because I liked Lady Gaga's Star Spangled Banner at the NFL
Super Bowl. It's great.
I actually didn't like her David Bowie.
It was terrible.
It was horrible.
Yeah, terrible choice.
But then she comes back and does this. So, I mean, I'm very, like, I like Lady Gaga. I have some of her music. But I'm still fair with it, I think, in my judgments of these things. And normally I don't like award show performances. But those two, I think because they were minimal. They weren't trying to, like, sell it to you.
Yeah, I'm
they
not,
were just like, we're out here, we're gonna do our thing.
Yeah, I know she's talented, but I'm not a pop guy, and I think most of her stuff is crap. I really do. I think she's a, you know, she's great with, you know, fashion and taking risks and stuff like that, but there's nothing spectacular about her music.
I think she's really intelligently arranged pop music, though. Like, I think her pop music stands out over other pop music in general, but it is still pop.
Yeah, some of it's very just...
Some of it is
overproduced,
like...
Overproduced, sugary.
Her first, like, her breakout album, though, like, is really good pop music.
Well, it's very catchy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But, I mean, that says nothing about her as a person, I think, what she's done.
But she's... But I wasn't a big Lady Gaga... I wasn't a big Lady Gaga fan before, and then my friend was like, do you want to go see her concert with me? And I was just kind of like, yeah, I'm down for it. Like, I like a couple of her songs, sure, why not? And we went, and I was just like, Lady Gaga, wah! Like, she's such a great performer. She just really is. Yep.
See, I like that she can sing.
She can.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's so, singing at her, on her
she's,
shows
she's
like
trained,
when
man.
She does
I
her
mean,
stuff.
So when she does, like, I like,
and she can play tons of instruments.
I think it's more her voice that sells it to me, because I do like the songs aren't anything that I'd be like, fucking rage, you know, but the way she sings, because it's actually singing, it's not just auto-tuned through the song,
right?
Like, you know, so I think that's what kind of impressed. Plus, I've seen her do other things,
yeah,
and sing with other people and be able to adapt her voice to it. So
she's talented. That there's no doubt about
so
it.
So that's why I like her. But I mean, yeah, the David Bowie thing, she should have stuck with Space Oddity, because she was doing okay with Space Oddity.
Yeah,
I will say that.
I will give her that.
That was it. Like, after that, I'm like, don't do that.
No, the voice is...
It wasn't the same.
No. And it looked weird, and it was just not good. Yeah, people are talking, it was great. It was not great. It was terrible.
It was bad, but definitely...
And she had different artists taking different roles. You know, her doing all of Bowie was stupid. It didn't work.
Yeah.
But her performance at the Oscars was awesome. Absolutely awesome. She was giving it, man. Yeah, voice cracking. She almost started crying like in the first verse, I was like, whoa.
I felt it.
Yeah, you're almost going to like, I wasn't sure she was going to make through it. It's pretty, pretty great. Okay, so advice.
It's something I know stuff about. That's cool.
Well, let me just start talking shit on it now without even knowing what you're going to say.
All right.
And I will throw this beer can at you.
Okay, so since we were doing all Oscar things, for the most part, we're going to talk about taking a date to a big event. Some pointers on that, especially when your date might be a little bit of an introvert.
Yeah, they're weird.
They're,
you don't want to take them to it.
They're a little weird. I mean, it's really hard to introduce somebody. Usually a big event that you are taking somebody to means that you're introducing them to a crowd of your friends, not theirs. Which is hard, I think, on everybody, but definitely a lot harder on somebody that has qualities of an introvert versus qualities of an extrovert, who can really try to jump in and, you know, be that, like, you know, schmoozer the whole time. And so I would say that there's a couple of, like, things that you can just make sure to do. You know, one of them is just, I don't feel like you ever have to fully babysit somebody, because if you do and you stop having a good time, then maybe they're not really a great partner for you if you're thinking of taking them to multiple events. But I do feel like there is some level of making sure that they're comfortable that helps somebody, get through some of these things that might be a little bit difficult.
You know, my problem is if they're, and this is my deal, if I'm with somebody or if I brought somebody to something and they're like socially awkward, I totally feel responsible for making sure that they're covered. And it totally ruins my evening.
It's because we're dudes.
No, but it shouldn't.
No, but you know.
But it's then it's not a good person. But it's not a good person.
My wife is the same way, though. She's like, you know, if you take somebody to an event or something like that.
Well, you are in some respect because you invited them. So you kind of like you assume responsibility for that person a little bit.
Yeah, but it shouldn't go to the level of ruining your night.
Yeah.
So I actually being somebody who is a little bit more introverted, it is hard to take me places. So I'm kind of coming at this from the side of like,
I find that hard to believe.
No, it is because
yeah, she sucks.
Because what happens is I can either turn up the like fake extroverted charm because you've made me feel comfortable and I'm gonna like riff off of some things that you're doing and here I am in a party and I'm gonna joke and I'm gonna have a great time and people are gonna like laugh whether it's with me, at me, whatever, at least people are laughing and then I'll feel good about it. But if you put me in a setting where you didn't kind of make me feel you didn't help me guide me towards feeling comfortable and I feel out of it, my energy level will drop from like, you know, like 90% down to like 25%, and digging me out of that hole is going to be really difficult. And like you said, both of our nights will be ruined because I will look miserable and it will all be terrible. And you know, if it's a you know, certain kind of relationship, a fight will ensue because I love to fight. Fighting is so much fun. But like, So some things that you can do is just make sure, like, really read the person's face. Make sure that you kind of have a conversation ahead of time. Try to avoid some, like, issues. So it'll be like, hey, if you're feeling uncomfortable about this, or this, here's some, like, let's have a pre-plan. Let's, like, decide we'll leave at this point if this is not, like, going well.
That's good.
You know?
I could see that.
So have just, like, we're both comfortable leaving at this point in the night if it's just not kind of going there, so that you don't put that person through two more hours of hell and then have a real good fight on your hands.
Have you ever, like, taken someone somewhere and like, you then you realize once you're there with them, you realize you've made a grave mistake. And
yes.
This is not the
Actually,
person.
I'm that person.
I should...
that people take to places
you
and
are
they're like,
not.
Fuck. Dude, I've gotten... Okay, so I've been to places...
I can see that, but I mean, I've never personally seen it.
I've been the person that people just ditch, which for me...
Really?
For me, it's kind of hard to like talk to people I don't know. I need something to bounce off of. If I can't...
That's what I'm saying. You have to be able to riff off of your person
you,
a little bit.
If you don't include me in anything, I can't just jump in. Like, I'm not that kind of guy that's like, what do you think about non-pasteurized milk? Like, I can't just bring shit up. So yeah, that's the kind of shit I would bring up. No, people would be like, who the fuck, you know? So like, for me, I've been to like, because bars aren't my thing. Like, I can do like brewery, I guess, or like fucking winery,
like places that's a social, it creates a social setting.
Yeah, it's a little bit more, but a bar is like, it's fucking loud and like there's people
it's
I don't know.
It's kind of a sleazy setting instead.
And so I've been that person where like I'm the friend of somebody who's there and then it's like all their friends that I collectively kind of know. But at the same time, they're all like, remember when we went to school and then that thing happened? I'm like, I didn't go to the same school as these people. I don't know what's happening. So then I start getting more quiet and withdrawing a little bit more. And then eventually they're like, so how are you feeling? Like, I'll get that question every now and again. And I'll be like, well, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do. And then I get pissed because I'm like, dude, I'm spending money here basically to drink so that I don't feel like I'm not doing anything. So that's my only thing is I get that you're saying, you know, you shouldn't have to babysit. My thing isn't so much that if you feel responsible for someone, you're babysitting them. I think that you should be able to read to what level of interaction they can do. So for me, like, just say something that's not related to anything you think your friends would be interested in so that I can say something and feel at least that I engaged with someone.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, you need to be you don't have to feel responsible. The thing is, you can't expect somebody to sit there and like coddle you through an entire night, but you should expect that they will help break that intro in so that then you can have conversations with different people throughout the night yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I mean, I've smoked cigarettes and shit just to do something with people so that I'd figure it out. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't like I've probably smoked like 3 cigarettes in my life just so that like I could somehow connect with somebody. And all I'm thinking is like, I really don't like the smoke. Well, like that's the only thing that goes in my mind.
Yeah, I'm terrible like small talk. I mean, I think I come off as being like extroverted and
You're a teacher, so you kind of have some form of
it totally exhausts me though. I can't. I mean, especially like you know, if I'm like doing a show or something like that, and there's a lot of people you're interacting with, I'm sure I come off like a complete ass because I can't stop. I ignore everybody essentially. So I move around too much because I can't just stop and start talking with people that I don't really.
Yeah.
You know, because faking it really is exhausting.
It
so.
Really is. Faking, yeah. I my eyes glaze over when I have to like fake conversation and you can tell.
Better if I'm sitting at a table, even if I don't know you, if I'm like, we're like sitting, like having dinner or lunch and then we can sit and talk.
Well, that was something I was definitely going to say is you should have an exit strategy that you guys both feel like great, agreeable. Let's exit that. The second thing that I was actually going to bring up that you guys both brought up is your setting. You have to make sure that that person is comfortable in that setting. If this is not the right setting for them, don't take them to this event, especially if it's their first time meeting these people. But if you put them, say their first event is going to be at a bar, like maybe that's not the best place to take you, but say they're going to do like a wine tasting, you guys are all going to get around and like get the same like wines or same beer flight or whatever it might be. And there's food and it's just a little bit more like we're all sitting facing each other. That might be a better setting for somebody who doesn't feel comfortable just jumping in. But the other thing is, as the guest is, you know, don't immediately go into shutdown phase because it's very hard to dig yourself out of that. So you have to go in, take a couple deep breaths. You have to go in feeling like this is going to be a little uncomfortable. There's going to be some bad points. Let me try to get through this with a little grace, maybe a slight smile on my face. Like sometimes I have to step away from even that moment that's happening. Like I might be having a perfectly fine time and still need like a second where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to the bathroom like at this like public area, like for like 10 minutes and just like sit on a toilet. I don't know, like do nothing because I just need a little like regenerating time or whatever. And that'll happen. Or I'm with somebody and I'm like, you know what? This is kind of their crew. I'm going to like step over here, but don't expect your guest needs to like have a little bit of like, you need to mentally prepare yourself that this is not going to be the setting where you're walking into a bunch of your friends. So you can't expect that walking into it. And then as the person that's taking them, you have to realize that that they're not walking into a group of friends. So you can't expect them to be the same social person that they are when it's just you two or when it's you and their friends. Like you just have to know that people are going to be different because if you can't be cool with that about whoever it is that you're like bringing to an event, you really probably just, they're not the right person for those style of events. And if it's just a friendship, awesome. You know what? I like to take this person to Disneyland with me or just do trips where it's just the two of us, but I don't like to take them to the movies because they talk all day long, like,
right.
Or, you know, or take them in big group settings because they do shut down and then it's a pain in the ass and I'm uncomfortable. Like nobody likes to be uncomfortable. Your guest doesn't want to be uncomfortable and you don't want to be uncomfortable. So just if it's a friendship that kind of has that fluidity, just pick your battles. And if it's like more of like a dating situation or whatever, like hopefully you haven't tied the knot yet and you're still having these kind of issues, but like you should really assess like what is a good balance for you, because you're gonna, if you partner up with this person for life, like that's just the shit you're gonna have to deal with.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing good that point. Sucks is being surprised. As I'm normally the guest sort of, because I don't have a lot of friends, so when people like, when
so
I
you're really selling yourself on this
well one. I mean I don't have like a lot of friends, like, and people that I am comfortable hanging out with really 100%. But like the thing is, a lot of the times I get surprised. So I'll be like, I'll invite someone, let's go do this thing. And they're like, can I invite somebody? And I'm like, sure, whatever. You know, somebody means one person.
Right.
I don't like when like 6 people show up and I'm like, the fuck? I don't know you. I don't know you.
Don't,
I don't know you.
Don't surprise an introvert in a group setting. Yeah.
And then they're all couples, What the fuck is that?
I would also say, though, you know, I've actually seen an improvement, at least among my nerd friends, that they're more comfortable at least telling me when they're not comfortable doing something. I've had plenty of people say stuff like, hey, you want to go to like a convention, you know, a con with us or something? And they'd be, you know what, I'm just not cool with crowds or something like that. And then like, well, that's fine. Why don't you just come down and we can hang out outside or grab some food or
something
like that?
Yeah, they'll like meet up for dinner afterwards.
They're totally upfront like with the things they can do and they can't do, because sometimes, you know, some group situations, social situations, people just are not comfortable with the social anxiety stuff. I mean,
yeah,
especially nerds, that's we are totally anxious people. So
and this one might be a little bit, not to be like gender like biased or anything, but might be a little bit more specific to the ladies. Is don't say fine if it's not fine. So you have to be like,
that's
okay.
Dudes
do it too, yeah.
I mean, but okay, good. Then it
Social
is.
Pressure,
then it's both.
Yeah.
Don't say fine if it's not fine. Mm-hmm. So do be comfortable saying that that's not something you want to do. But then if you say that's something you don't want to do, but that person should go ahead and do it themselves, like
yes.
Make sure you're actually cool with that situation. And you all avoid you avoid bad situations either waiting for you after the event or at the event.
That's great advice.
So I would say, yeah, those are the, you know, just keep it real.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I mean, I think the other problem I've had is I can, I show my emotions on my face. So it shouldn't be that hard. Read a person's face.
No, you got to speak up. You gotta speak up.
Yeah. You have to speak
no,
up.
Don't expect anybody to read your face.
Nobody's a mind reader.
The face.
Nobody's a mind reader.
Okay. We're down to the end, guys. Final words for the week.
I didn't have nothing to say.
Okay, cool. Final words. I went to a magic show this weekend. It's called Borrowed Time LA. It is this guy, Elder something rather. He's Portuguese. If you are in the LA area, I highly recommend looking it up. I think it ends in March. It is in a secret location. You actually have to buy tickets to get sent the location. It has a really cool like intro where you get, you know, the room that you enter into has like kind of puzzles and clues and things going on before you even enter your like room. And if you do decide to do it again, it's borrowedtimela.com. Just you have to then comment back and tell me if you're like beyond confused at like how intelligent this guy is. Not only is he a good sleight of hand, because in no moment did I go, oh, that's this. I understand the sleight of hand he was doing. I was just like, I feel really dumb. I feel like, wait, were these just there this way the whole time? Like, I don't understand. Ooh. Really, really good. So if you get a chance, Borrowed Time LA. It's worth it.
Cool. Tiny Table 3 and some friends got this go to the Hobbit restaurant last week.
Yeah.
And so if you're in Central Orange County, California, check it out. It's been around since 1973.
Save
it's
your
not
pennies.
Literally a Shire type format.
It kind of is.
But it was a wonderful experience. It's expensive. Just put
Save
that
your
out
pennies.
There. Yeah. But it was definitely, I thought it was totally worth it. Something
it was
to do.
Super worth it.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. I was so drunk. I was drunk the next morning. I was like, how am I going to get to work?
Yeah, I think I was too. I was like, when I woke
didn't
up,
realize.
I'm like, I feel pretty great. And I went to work and this is fantastic. And then I felt really bad later. I'm like,
yeah,
maybe I was drunk an hour ago.
Yeah. That's what happened to me. By the time I got in, because I commuted all the way to LA, I was like, oh, fuck, now I'm hungover.
The food was so great, but it's like the Hobbit 9 courses, and it's like eating in a home. It's like it's got that warm kind of feeling. You know,
it was so cool.
It was a really
and
great
all
experience.
The food amazing, and the wine cellar and all the wine we chose was delicious.
It was really a great
you
experience.
You couldn't go wrong.
Yeah, so it's been there since like 1973, and I understand why. So if you get a chance to check it out, it was a great experience, and I think if you can put aside some money to do it, it's a little expensive, say the least, but it's great. Great.
And go fancy.
Yeah.
Go fancy.
And then lay in the bathtub because you're fancy.
Best picture ever.
So what I did was I went to the Wiltern and I saw Lake Street Dive.
Uh-huh.
And they were way better the second time around. They were totally confident. The last time I went, actually, the lead singer, Rachel Price, she actually referenced that last show and she said that it was the last time she said it's like this is the biggest show we've ever done. And then she came out and said last time we were here that was the biggest show we ever did and I was nervous and I didn't know what to expect, and she's like, and now I'm back and I'm like ready to do this. And you can tell she was having way more fun than the last time, because the last time she was good, like technically everything was great and they were good, but this time they were really like I think having more fun with it. And They were supposed to come out after the show, but I wasn't really sure where they were supposed to be. And there's a shit ton of people at the Wiltern, so I'm like, I didn't know when they were going to come out. So I'm kind of bummed that I didn't get to see them. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm going to be here till like 2 in the morning trying to meet them. And I think I'll just wait until they come back around and they do like $20 upgrade for VIP or something where it's like 30 people.
Cool.
Yeah, and I ordered another hat, by the way. They were on sale for $10, but it's a different style.
All right.
Okay, guys. Well, I think we come down to the end.
Sure.
Nothing else going on?
Check out geekandsundry.com, shameless plug, because I've been working really hard on it. Okay, that's it. New look.
The Side Pony record is a little distorted. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
The what?
The Lake Street Dive record. The new
one. Yeah, that's kind of
the vinyl
thing
is like weird.
You know, the mix isn't great.
People do that stuff. I don't get it.
The MP3's good. I don't know. The MP3's
totally
fine.
The vinyl. The vinyl's
I'm getting new vinyl needles, so we'll see if that helps.
No.
Because my vinyl needle started to skip and stuff on records, so. Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody have a great week.
Yes.
Shut your ugly face.
All right.
Have a great week, everybody.
Bye. Thanks
for
listening.
Have yourselves a merry little Christmas.
What the hell?
Dick butt.
It's February 29th. Oh, happy leap year, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Leap year.
Leap year. Put a dick in your butt.
Leap onto a dick.
Haven't read that many,
what?
Not a single one in school. But I enjoy a good one on vacation by the pool.
Oh, my
God. Wouldn't you rather perv on hot chicks by the pool? No!
Would you just stop already? What are you doing?
Bye, everybody.
Stop. Shut up.
Never actually read the book.
Dude, seriously.
Never actually read the book. Never actually read the book. I've never actually read the book. Never read a book from front to back of page 3.